the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, this being the Sunday before the Feast of the Nativity, we are reminded of both the unrighteous and the righteous who were ancestors of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. And in a homily once given many years ago by Father Anthony Hughes, our priest at St. Mary Antiochian Orthodox Church in Cambridge, Massachusetts, he gave a very humorous but informative homily on this particular topic, and I wanted to read one excerpt from it for you today. He writes, or said, genealogies don't mean the same to us as they did for ancient peoples. So the first part of this morning's reading may be tedious to modern ears. Most people will remember the list of strange names and forget the ending, probably because a majority check out somewhere around Amminadab, if not before. By the time we get to the story of Christmas at the end, people are a little glassy-eyed. I actually look forward to it. I like this reading. Just a word of explanation about the genealogy part. Both Matthew and Luke include genealogies of Jesus in their Gospels, and they differ from one another. No worries. Genealogies were useful for a variety of reasons, so it wasn't unusual for a person to have more than one made up to cover their bases. Things like inheritance and ownership and vocation were at stake. You had to prove your pedigree. Since the point was to establish an ancestral link rather than to list all of the family names exhaustively, they were not as interested in getting all the names in there just the way that we would be. St. Matthew's genealogy emphasizes that Jesus is the son of David. He begins with David and moves then to Abraham, a double whammy for Jewish identification and backward since Abraham came before David. His predominantly Jewish audience would be looking for that connection. His aim was to convince the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah and Davidic sonship was essential to do so. St. Luke, on the other hand, emphasizes the Lord's human nature. So he begins his genealogy with Adam to be more universal in his message. For his predominantly Greek audience, that would be significant. Luke points out also to the Lord's divine origin. He ends with Jesus, the son of Adam and the son of man, the son of God, I beg your pardon. Both genealogies are essential for our understanding the incarnation. They complement one another. Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of David, both human and divine. As a human being, he was specifically Jewish. As God, he was perfectly God. I thought that was a very well-made point, several points there in Father Anthony's homily on this particular day. When he became one of us, our Lord, in his incarnation, he condescended to do so. He emptied himself and took on our human nature for all eternity. His desire and goal was the redemption of every man, woman, and child in every generation. He came to take onto himself every flaw, every transgression, every failure, every tear, every disappointment, so that anyone who would avail themselves of this magnificent and indescribable grace and mercy could align themselves with the lineage of true believers in God whom we commemorate today. To be sure, not all of these were righteous of whom we read. One could say that this genealogy contains a broad cross-section of the different sins of mankind. To be sure, many were righteous, as we heard from our reading in Hebrews this morning. Many were righteous. Many paid the ultimate price for their faith, and they didn't even have the benefit of seeing the incarnation but they knew it would happen from afar. And today, we draw near to the Feast of the Nativity. We remember that our Lord Jesus Christ volitionally joined himself to our human experience, to all of it, the good and the bad, so that each and every person made in his image could be healed and see that image restored to what God intended when he made us today, when he made us. Today, you and I are reminded that we share in these sinful maladies. To fully appreciate the reason for the season, that worn-out adage, we must consider our own need for forgiveness, our own need for purification, our own need for deliverance and healing. That is why we have a fast before Christmas. That is why this 40-day period is a very important time for us to take stock of our lives and to examine ourselves and to see what of these sins are dominating us so that we can get rid of them by the grace and mercy of God. But let us not despair over our human condition. For the second person of the Holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ, loves us so much that he and his humility with great joy has come in the flesh to become that once for all perfect sacrifice for your sins and for mine. Let us embrace this reality as we draw near to this great feast, and let us emulate the many righteous ones who've gone before us, who have been grand examples to us of holiness, of godliness, of being on the right side of glory. And by his grace and mercy, may we join them one day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.